Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Samach Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the very bottom line of Samach Hei Omid Beis, where we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah opens up describing a person who is a victim of a leg amputation. Hakitea, this is a person whose leg was cut off. Yotze Bekav Shalo, Divrei Rebbe Meir. He is allowed to go out on Shabbos with his, we could say a prosthetic leg, but that might be overstating the case. A kav is a piece of wood that is fit upon the stump of his leg, which he is able to ambulate with. Reb Yossi, we're at the top of Daf Samach Vov Omet Aleph. Reb Yossi Oser. Reb Yossi does not allow. V'im yesh lo beis kibul ksisin tome. If this wooden leg replacement has a receptacle area, in other words, it's carved out. Where the leg is inserted, it's carved out and it is designed to hold little pads. That's ksisin would be soft material. So, and that's of course in addition to the insertion of his leg into that cup, if you will. Then it will be mekabel tuma. But just by the mere fact that he puts his leg in it does not make it into a piece of wood that's mekabel tuma. For those who might not have the background, there is a rule that kli eitz, vessels made of wood, if they don't have a receptacle area, they're called pshutei kli eitz, they don't absorb tuma. Certainly tumas mago, that's tuma that comes as a result of a standard contact with things that generate tuma, like a sheretz or an avela, etc. However, if it's designed for holding these little pads, then it will no longer be classified as pshute kliets and are able to, and then this kav, this peg leg, is then capable of being makabel tuma. As the Mishnah goes on, we must make mention of the fact that we don't have sufficient illustrations to successfully convey the explanation of this Mishnah, but we highly recommend to all of our participants that if you can get a hold of a wonderful illustrated Mishnayos work known as Pnei Shabbos, we recommend doing that, and the Mishnayos are illustrated in a fantastic fashion, making things so much clearer than we will be successful with mere words. That having been said, we will try, and from time to time we might even provide a crude illustration to try to convey the explanation. The Mishnah continues here on the second line from the top. Smuchos shaloi tamein medris, v'yoytzen bohen b'shabbos, v'nechnosin bohen ba'azora. We look at Rashi. Smuchos shalo, smuchos shel kiteya. These are, smuchos are something that one rests upon, the smuchos of a kiteya, of a person with an amputated leg. And when we speak about leg amputations, there are many, many different possibilities. There's lower down on the leg and higher up on the leg. So in the Rashi, you'll notice with our markings, we've triangled yesh kiteya here, and a number of lines down, again, yesh kiteya. The Rashi, in explaining the Mishnah, is pointing out that there are different types of kiteya, and that is also understood as you go on in the Mishnah. So here Rashi says, Yesh kiteya b'shtei raglov. There are people that have both legs amputated. Mahalich al Shoikov v'al Arkevoisov. This person's leg has been amputated below the knee, so that there is the knee remains and part of the leg that is below the knee as well. And we try to illustrate with a crude diagram on the side a leg, or that which remains after the foot was amputated. So he bends his leg over into a 90 degree angle, and a smuchosa, we'll call it a pad, is placed under the bent leg, and he moves along in that fashion. A person with the, we'll call it, two bent legs, missing, of course, his feet because they've been amputated, and he maneuvers this way. The Oisa, Rashi says, Oisa smuchos shel or l'shokov. The shok is the part of the leg below the knee. So the part of that, maybe the calf, that the part that remains is called the part of the shok that remains, as we have illustrated, is bent over, and he maneuvers in that way. So if you just imagine a person who's bent over on his knees and shuffling along, and in order to give him protection and some degree of comfort, so the smuchos are attached. So those smuchos are what the Mishnah is referring to here when it says they are tamei in medras. They are designed for his placing his weight on them, and that's what tumas medras is all about. So that if this kitea is a zav, for example, or if it's a woman and she's a nida, so the halacha is the things that are designed for leaning on, like chairs and beds, and in this case the smuchos, they become an av hatuma. They become a high level of tuma, primary level tuma, and they can communicate tuma to people and vessels as well. And the Mishnah tells us that he is entitled to walk, to ambulate outside with these smuchos on Shabbos. Rashi says the tachshit didei who it's his ornamentation. It's part of his tachshitim. And also another halacha that the Mishnah mentions is the entrance to the Azora. There is a prohibition of entering the Beis Hamikdash with shoes. As far as we are concerned, the smuchos do not qualify as his shoes, because shoes are that which, as Rashi points out, is as something that would be attached to Rosh Raglo, to the edge or the tip of his foot, whatever might be the edge or the tip of his foot, and you have something attached to that, that would be his shoe. It's his shoe in, you understand, in quotation marks. It's what is effectively his shoe. However, here his leg is bent over into a 90 degree angle, and the smuchos are attached to the side of his leg, not the tip of his leg. So therefore, they don't constitute a shoe, and therefore there is no restriction on him entering the Beis Hamikdash, the Azora of the Beis Hamikdash. We continue in the Mishnah, and bear in mind that as we continue in the Mishnah, we are going to encounter another kind of kiteya. Kisei usmuchos shelo tamein medris, v'ein yoitzin bohen b'shabes, v'ein nichnosin bohen be'azora. Here Rashi explains under Divor Masel Kisei, here the second triangle that we have in the Rashi, Yesh Kiteya. There's another kind of amputee, Sheyovshu Vikovtsu Gidei Shoikov, Viafilu al Arkevoisov Eino Yocholele. Here he can't manipulate, he can't maneuver himself on his knees. The first triangle and the little illustration indicated someone who was able to ambulate on his knees. Here, this person is in such a state that he cannot. And as a result, how does someone like this get around? V'oisen kemin kisei nomuch v'yoshev alav. very, you have to imagine a very short stool type apparatus is made, and he, in effect, sits on this low stool. Ukshu mahalech, Rashi says, when as he ambulates, nismach al yodov, he moves around using his elbows. His, in other words, his arms are bent over on the ground. He crouches over and he shuffles along using his arms to move along. And on attached to his arms are, Rashi says, the safsolim ktanim, little, literally benches, little somethings, little bench-like apparatuses that are attached to his arms. The oiker gufo min haaretz, he elevates himself by resting on his arms, so his posterior section is thereby elevated. The nidchaf lefonav, and he pushes ahead. The chozer v'noch ala chorov, and then after he pushes a little bit ahead, he then descends his posterior and rests a bit on that kisei. V'hakisei koshur lo me'achorov, and this little stool is attached to his posterior section from behind. Now, Rashi goes on, smuchos shel oiso kitea, this type of kitea also has smuchos, however, they are positioned differently. Remember, this person doesn't have use of his knees because of whatever medical phenomena affect him. So, oiso lo smuchos shel or, o shel eitz, le roshe shokov. Here, we are focusing on the part of the leg where the amputation took place, the edge or the tip of that which remains, and the smuchos are attached there. And we have a crude illustration on the side to attempt to illustrate this. And so they're attached over there, le roshe shokov oraglov hatluyim ukshuhu nishan al yodov, and when he rests on his elbow, on his arms, his elbows, the oker atzmo, and picks himself up. Nishan gam al raglov ktsas. He relies or he rests a little bit on the stumps, with the smuchos at the bottom of the stumps. So, regarding this situation, the Mishnah tells us that the smuchos that are attached to the ends of his legs are tomei medrash. However, one does not go out with them on Shabbos. Rashi addresses this, and he says one pshat is because he doesn't really need them, but Rashi doesn't like that explanation. And Rashi prefers the explanation that since they're at the end, they're suspended at the end of his legs, and he doesn't really, they're not resting on the ground, sometimes they slip off. And the slipping off will then lead to his attempting to carry them. And furthermore, the ein nichnosen ben bazora, because they are attached to the ends of his feet, they have a legal status of a shoe, and therefore he would be forbidden to enter the azora with them on. Continuing in the Mishnah, luktamin tahorin v'ein yoitzin bohen. As far as what luktamin are, the Rashi gives us a French expression, and the Gemara, though, will elaborate on luktamin later on. In fact, the Gemara will have three pshatim on what it is. And here Rashi mentions nasin l'schoiku l'havis tinoikus. They're made for humorous purposes or for entertainment, and also to frighten little kids. They are not mekabel tuma, as Rashi says, they're not a kli tashmish, nor are they a tachshit. And the luktamin is something that one cannot go out into the Rishus HaMabim on Shabbos with them. The Gemara. Before we learn the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side under our No Say heading, and we've written Birur Mahu Girsas HaMishnah. We want to investigate what is the proper reading of the Mishnah. In other words, we read the Mishnah, but that's because that's the way it was printed. However, the Gemara wants to clarify what should the real reading of the Mishnah be. So, possibility one is Rabbi Meir is Matir, the Kitea B'Kav Shelo, and Rabbi Yossi Oser. That's, in fact, what we have. It's true that Rabbi Meir's name is at the end of Omid Aleph, at the end of Omid Beis, that is Samachay Omid Beis, the very end. It says Hakitea Yotzei B'Kav Shelo Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is the Matir, and Rabbi Yossi Asus. That's as we say. That's what we have. But there's a second possibility, and that is the opposite: that Rabbi Meir prohibits, and Rabbi Yossi is the one that allows. So the Gemara will be preoccupied with this question, practically down to the last seven, eight lines of the Gemara. Actually, a little bit higher up from the bottom, but most of the Omid is dealing with this question. Omar le Rava le Rav Nachman, Heichi Tnan. How are we to have the Mishnah learned? Omar le lo yadana. Rav Nachman says, I don't know. Question, Hilchisomai, what is the final halacha? Omar le, again, Rav Nachman says, lo yadana, I don't know. Itmar Omar Shmuel, Ein Hakitea. Shmuel's version of the Mishnah is with Rabbi Meir opening with a prohibition. Ein Hakitea Yotze B'Kav Shelo. V'chein Omar Rav Huna, Ein Hakitea, and Rav Huna agrees. Omar Rav Yosef, Hoyo V'Omar Shmuel Ein Hakitea, V'Omar Rav Huna Ein Hakitea. Just since these great figures, Shmuel and Rav Huna, open the Mishnah with the negation, with the prohibition, and Rabbi Meir prohibits, Anan Nami Nisni Ein Hakitea, so too we will open the Mishnah with that. So Rav Yosef wants to accept the Shmuel and Rav Huna approach. The Gemara now presents a question, and a long question it is. By way of markings, you'll notice we have a double underline under the names Rabo Bar Shira, and later on the Omid, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, we have already seen. We know his opinion. What we will see is Rava Bar Shira will be challenging the conclusion Rav Yosef reaches now, and later we will have Rav Yosef's response. So, under the Mivneh heading in the margin, we've featured a double underline, and you can see we've written Girsa Samishna Shonui B'Machlokis Rabo Bar Shira V'Rav Yosef. The text of the Mishnah, who holds what, is a controversy between these two Amoroyim. We will be using a diamond a little bit later, and that's highlighted here, surrounding the word V'af. And this is Hechochas Rabo L'shitoso. Rabo will be proving his point. The Elu Shurav Yosef Nishan Aleim, those upon whom Rav Yosef relied, namely Shmuel and Rav Huna, Chazru Bohen, they reversed their positions. So it's sort of like ripping the carpet from under his feet. That is, under Rav Yosef's feet, leaving him nothing to stand on. If his whole point was relying on Shmuel and Rav Huna, but we find they reverse themselves. Now the Gemara, again noting that it's a very long question. Maskif lo Rava Bar Shira. Rava challenges Rav Yosef, and he says, Lo Shmielahu ha demasni le Rav Chonon bar Rava lechia bar Rav. Kamei de Rav, Bekituno de Bei Rav. Did they not hear that which Rav Chonon taught Rav Chia in the presence of Rav, in the Kituna? Kituna is like a hut, a small room. Rashi says Cheder Kotan Shel Beis HaMedrash. It's a small room off the base, or the side of the base medrash. So Rav Honan taught the following in the presence of Rav. What text did he teach? Ein hakitel yotze bekavshel adiver bimeir, Rabbi Yossi matir. Umachvi le Rav epuch, and Rav made a gesture indicating switch it around. In other words, Rabbi Meir is matir. Omar Rav Nach Bar Yitzchok v'simono, in order to remember that Rav Yossi is the one that asers, in order to remember Rav's point to switch things around and have Rav Yossi the stricter opinion, simono, the simon is samach samach, the word, the name Rav Yossi, Yossi has a samach in it, and the word oser has a samach in it, so it's an easy way to remember the approach that you should take. Rav Yossi Oser. V'af Shmuel Hodarbe Disnan. We have a Tanaic source. Chotza Besandol She'eno Shelo. Chotza is the woman who is a widow, leaving no children, and she is presented with her husband's surviving brother, another her brother-in-law. And she, or they decide, the brother-in-law decides not to marry her, not to miyabim her, that's the yibum marriage, he decides against it. So she must remove a shoe from his foot. The source here describes things that are something other than a very standard, or the standard situation, and yet these cases end up being kosher. It's acceptable. She's done what she has to do. And they include Chotza Besandol She'eno Shelo. She removed from his foot, which is what the Torah prescribes for the Chalitza ceremony, the removal of a shoe. But and she removed the shoe from his foot, but it wasn't his shoe. Besandol Shel Eitz. And we've dashed underlined this because this is what we are focusing on right now, because the Kav is a wooden apparatus that is made of eitz, is wood. Oy shall smoil be a min, or she removed his left shoe from his right foot. Chalitza ksheira. It's acceptable. Now we're not going to get into all the details of mitzvahs chalitza, that we will leave for Maseches Yevomis where it is featured. However, we continue now in the Gemara v'amrinon man tano. And we ask, who is the Tana that looks at a wooden shoe as a shoe? The Torah requires the removal of a shoe. And here we have, and a standard shoe, of course, is made of leather. Who is the Tana that will say that a wooden shoe also fulfills the requirement of a shoe? Omar Shmuel, Rebbe Meir he. This is in accordance with Rebbe Meir Disnan. And here is Shmuel's presentation of the Tanaic authorities. Hakitel Yotze Bekav Shelo Divrei Rebbe Meir Verbi Yossi Oser. So you see in Shmuel's presenting the things, this matter, he said the Kitea is our amputee, is able to go out on Shabbos with his Kav, with his wooden the wooden foot replacement, because as far as Rebbe Meir is concerned, that is his shoe. Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yossi forbids. But again, what do we see here? We see Shmuel learning that Rebbe Meir is matir, and hence a reversal of what Shmuel originally said above. We have little arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Mora text, and you can compare what this, what we just saw under Shmuel's name, and what Shmuel said originally. So Rava Bar Shira is let's say negating Rav Yosef by showing that if you, Rav Yosef, are relying on Shmuel as presenting Rebbe Meir saying Eina Kitea, not so. Continuing, V'af Rav Huna Hadar Bey, and the other authority that Rav Yosef was relying on, he too reversed. Desanyo, we have another Tanaic source, Sandol Shel Sayodin Tomei Medris. Sayodim are people that work with sid. Sid is lime that's used as a whitewash. And in order to protect themselves, so these the sayodin would wear a certain kind of shoe. And Rashi has a couple of approaches to this, but one of the approaches is it was a wooden shoe, and it would protect his feet from getting burnt on the with this material, the sid. Sid will burn leather. It'll consume leather, and therefore he needs an alternative material. So he uses a wooden shoe. So sandal shel sedum tome medris, v'isha choletzes bo, v'yoytzin boi b'shabbos, divrei Rebbe Akiva, v'loi hoidu lo. The Tanakama, namely Rebbe Akiva, says that this kind of shoe is something that will absorb tumas medris, and a woman can use it as part of the chalitza ceremony, which we described before, and one can wear it out on Shabbos. And that's Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Akiva, and there are those that disagree. The ha'tnan hodulo, but we have a source that says they agreed with Rabbi Akiva. Omar Rav Huna. Rav Huna explains, or Rashi's gear says v'omar Rav Huna, because we're continuing. The vav is an indication we're just continuing in Rava Bar Shiva's argument. V'omar Rav Huna man hodulo, who is the one that agrees with Rabbi Akiva and in effect is calling a wooden shoe a shoe with all of its ramifications, and including yoytzin bo b'shabbos. That's Rabbi Meir. Uman lo hodulo, and who disagrees? Rabbi Yossi, who he will forbid. This is the end of Rava Bar Shira's attack on Rav Yosef, demonstrating, and the most recent point was that Rav Huna, which is, we've dashed underlined his name, he too presents Rabbi Meir as being in agreement with Rabbi Akiva, which is saying that the wooden type shoe, and that has application to the wooden leg attached to the kiteya, Rabbi Meir is the one that would allow. Rav Yosef Omar. Now Rav Yosef responds, man lo hodu lo. Who is the one that is stringent? It's not Rabbi Yossi. In other words, I don't agree, Rabbi Yossi Oser. The one who is stringent is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But Rabbi Yossi, he would be matir, like I originally said. Now, where do you see Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri expressing such an opinion of stringency? Disnan. Now, it's not going to be obvious in the source that we read, but we'll have to look into the Rashi afterwards to find the point. The source says, Kaveres shel kash ushvoferes shel konim. A kaveres is a beehive. It's a unit in which bees make their honey. If it's made of kash, kash is straw. Shvoferes shel konim, it's a tube. A reed tube. Rabbi Kiva metame, ve Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri metahir. Rabbi Kiva says they are makabal tuma, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says they're not makabal tuma. Now here we must look into the Rashi. The second line under the Gemara text, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri metahir, the lav urcha lasos mikash. It's not normal to make a kaveres out of straw, elo mikonim. Rather, you would make it out of reeds. Uminol, and here we've dashed under on, this is the main point, uminol nami lav urcha me'etz. The shoes are not normally made of wood, elo me'or, rather from leather. And he says, ze loshen rabosai, that which we've seen till now is the version that his teachers communicated to him. The Rashi has another approach, but for our purposes, this will do. So that, being that a wooden shoe is unusual, so it won't be considered a shoe, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would say, and he would not allow walking out with it on Shabbos, and therefore Rabbi Yosef feels that he can still rely on, certainly on Rav Huna's approach, because Rav Huna in saying lo hodu lo is Rav Yosef disagrees and says that the lo hodu lo is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, but Rabbi Yossi will say, like I originally said, that he would be matir. Omar Mar, here we quote that which we saw before, sandal shel sayodim tome medris, the lime maker's shoe is mekabel tumas medris. The Gemara asks, ha lav lehilucha avdi, but it's not made for walking. He wears this simply to protect himself while working with the sid, but it's not made for walking. Omar Rav Acho Bar Rav Ula Shekain Hasayid Metayel Bo Ad Shemagil Beiso. The Sayod, this particular artisan, he does wear the shoe. He'll walk with these shoes until he gets home. V'im Yeshlo Beis Kibuk Sisin Tome. The Mishnah mentioned that the replacement leg, the wooden leg, if it has a receptacle area for ksisin, for little pads or pillows, then it is not considered pshutei kli eitz, and therefore it's mekabel tuma. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading. The nosei reads as follows: Kav shiyesh bo beis kibul ksisin. The Katani Tome Machlokis Abaye V'Rova Imze Kulil Tumas Medris. As we will go on in the Gemara, we will see that this kav, this wooden leg that has a receptacle area for the pads, Rova and Abaye argue regarding the Mishnah that says it's Mekabel Tuma, does that include Tumas Medris? And we mentioned earlier, but it doesn't hurt to mention again, Tumas Medris is a Tuma that if someone is a Zav or a Zov or a Nida, and they sit or put their body weight, they lean on something that is designed for leaning or designed for sitting or designed for reclining, then the bed or the chair or whatever will become an Av HaTuma. That's Tumas Medris, a primary level Tuma, and could communicate Tuma to people and vessels, in addition to, of course, food and drink. The Gemara. Omar Abaye, Tomei Tumas Meis V'ein Tomei Medris. The Mishnah says, regarding this prosthetic leg that has a base kibul ksisin, that it's Tomei, that means it's Mekabel Tumas Meis, as it is no longer classified as pshute kli eitz, but rather a piece of wood that has a base kibul, has a receptacle area, but it's not going to become tomei tumas medris. That means that if this amputee is a zav, he's experienced certain emissions that would create a medris situation for beds that he relies on, it won't make the leg, this wooden leg, into a medris. Rova Omar Af Tomei Medris. When the Mishnah says it's Tomei, it includes the leg as being subject to Tumas Medris as well. Meaning if the amputee happens to be a Zav or a Nida, and they're wearing this kind of leg, it will become an Av HaTuma as a medris. Omar Rava, Mino Aminola. What we've done with the with regard to the structure of the or the heading of this Gemara, we have noted the following: Abizarei Halicha Shonim, different types of ambulatory devices. I Shayech Behu Tumas Medris. Does Tumas Medris apply to them? And the Mivne that were the structural note features the triangle that we see now, Mino Amino, law, from where do I know what I said? These are nisyonos of Abaye Barava lochiach shitasim. We're going to see how Abaye and Rava try to prove their points. The Gemara continues. Amar Rava mino amino law. From where do I know that the kav, if the with the base kibuk sisin, is subject to tumas medras? Disnan. There is a source that says agola shel katan tameo medras. The term agola literally is a cart. There is a the Tosfos quotes Rashi and presents an alternative pshat to Rashi's. Rashi's pshat, and we can look directly in the Tosfos at the bottom. Agola shakotin pir shakunches agola. It's a wagon shakotin yoshev aleh that the children sit in. Below nihira, he doesn't like that pshat. In kain maiko mashvelon. Then why do I need a Tanaic source to say such a thing would be mekabel tumas medras? Pshita deim lacham yuchad medras golo mizeh. That's the ultimate in things designed for leaning on a kid's wagon that he rides around in. Lakach nirali dahainu agolo shoisin lekotin leslame laaloich tameya medras dinishal. This is what we would call a walker. The children have. Let's say call them toys, maybe that's not accurate, children's items that when the child becomes of a certain age, he's about to start walking, so they the child leans on this. We find this with seniors as well that are reached a certain point in their physical state where they can't walk freely. They have walkers, and you find people leaning on the walker as they're walking along. So they're placing their weight on it, and as far as Rava is concerned, the fact that this Agola Shel Katan is Mekabel Tumas Medras shows us that the likewise with the Kiteya and his Kav. The Abaye's response is Hosam Somech Iluya. There, in the case of the Agola Shel Katan, he really rests on it. He places his weight on it. Hacha lo samech iluya. With regard to the this kav with the base kibuk sisim, he doesn't really rest on it, and therefore, it's not subject to tumas medrash. Medrash is that which he lies on or sits on or puts his weight on. Abaye's feeling is that the kitea doesn't put enough weight on the kav in order to make it classify it as subject to tumas medras. Omar Abaye mino amino lo. Now Abaye speaks up. Where do I know my position from? Disanya makil shel zekenim tor miklum. A stick that the elderly use for walking, a walking stick, is not mekabel any tuma. It's not mekabel tumas meis or tumas mago because it's pshute kliyets, and additionally it's not mekabel tumas medras either. So Abaye feels that the kav of the kitea is parallel to this. The Rava's response is, he says, no, the reason that's Torah miklum, that doesn't mekabel tuma, even tuma, it doesn't mekabel any tuma including tumas medras. Hasam, the Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis, litruse sugyo avida. It's made simply to help him straighten out his steps. And Rashi at the top says litruse koima, sugyo. Sugyo has to do with steps. Lisakim psiosov, to straighten out or fix his steps. Velizkoif koima, and to help him be erect. That they shiraglov shoykov roses as his feet and his legs tremble. Velo lismichas kogufo. It's this walking stick is not for him to rely to rest upon. It's simply to help him straighten out and offer assistance for his trembling legs. So that's as far as the walking stick is concerned. Hacha, but in the case of the kitea and the kav of the kitea, lismoch iluyahu de avida v'samach olei, it is there for him to, it's attached to his leg to rest upon. The Gemara, and that's why Rava feels that it's Mekabel Tumas Medrus. The Gemara continues, Kisei Usmuchos Shalo Temein Medrus, V'ein Yoytsin Bohen B'Shabbos, V'ein Nichnosin Bohen Lazara. That is a quote from the Mishnah dealing with the second type of Kiteya. Toni Tano Kameder Rabbi Yochanan, Nichnosin Bohen Lazara. Someone was teaching a Tanaic source in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan regarding the second type Kiteya, and just to remind ourselves, he was the one that his legs are so deteriorated, he's not only is an amputee, but he can't maneuver on his knees, so he has these smuchas attached to the ends of his legs, and the source that was taught in front of Rabbi Yochanan says that he can enter the Azorah with his with these attachments, the smuchos. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan responds back, Ani shoina isha choletzetz boi. I hold that a woman can perform her chalitza requirement using these smuchos, in other words, removing the smuchos from the end of the amputee's leg, making it a shoe. And we know that a shoe donning individual is forbidden in the Azora. V'al amris nichnosin, and you say that one can enter, the amputee can enter with these smuchos. How could that be? If these smuchos would constitute a shoe with regard to the mitzvah of chalitza, there's no way he should be allowed to enter the Azora, which is a place where one is forbidden to enter with a shoe. Tani, so rather state, Ein nichnosin bohen la'azora. And this revised text is, in fact, what we have in our Mishnah. Luktamin tahora. My luktamin. So we have three explanations in this Gemara as to what luktamin are. Omar Rabbi Avo, Chamro de Achpo. So Rashi explains this is some type of it's a wooden, we can call it a toy. Rashi describes clowns use this in their entertainment. It's a wooden type of, it's a wooden shaped donkey that they carry around on their shoulders and perform with it. And Rashi says they create the impression that they are riding on it. The next pshat in the Gemara for luktamin is Rava Bar Papa Omar Kshiri. Rashi explains using a French word, and he used also a French word before for the Chamra, the Achba. The Kshiri or the Kishuri are a type of short stilt that where there's a muddy area, person will attach these to his feet and walk with them. And again, just reminding ourselves of the Mishnah, one is not allowed to go out with these things on Shabbos. And finally, Rava Bar Rav Huna Omar Parmi. Rashi explains regarding the parmi, is something that would appear as a type of mask, perhaps some type of frightful mask that would cause fear in the hearts of little kids. The Mishnah. Before we delve into the Mishnah, we just want to cite on the side, we have a nosei klali, that means a general topic that will keep us occupied till Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. And in one word, we summarize it as refuos. The Gemara will spend time with different medicinal suggestions different pieces of medical advice and methods of healing. The Mishnah. Habonim yoitzin b'ksharim. Ksharim, the Gemara will explain, and ubnei melochim b'zugin. Zugin, Rashi, again, as we've seen many, many times, gives us a French word, which is in effect little bells, little golden bells. They're decorative. V'chol odom, and in fact, anyone can go out with these things as well. Not just b'nei melochim, princes. Ela shedibru chachomim behoveh, who the style of speech of the chachomim is to speak in common terms. So, in common terms, bonim go out with ksharim and b'nei melochim with these golden bells. The opening sugya we have featured under our nosei heading. Beis pirushim l'ksharim dekotoni b'masis, and we'll have two explanations as to what ksharim means. So the Gemara, Gemara opens with the question: my ksharim, Omar Adamori, Omar Rav Nachman bar Boruch, Omar Rav Ashi bar Ovin, Omar Rav Yehuda. Kishuri pua. Rashi again uses a French word. It's a type of plant that's put in some type of bind, or it's knotted, and it's then attached to one's neck, and it offers refuah. It offers some type of it serves in some medicinal capacity or some healing capacity. So it's a refuah oriented thing. We have a bracketed section, and on the side we've noted that sograyim l'shem dilug, these brackets are for initial skipping. Kedei lahatzmid kushis ha-gemorah shachreim l'pshat sh'Rav Yehuda. We want to attach the Gemara's question, which follows the brackets, to Rav Yehuda. So we'll do this skip in order to see the Rav Yehuda's point and the question asked on him immediately. And by the way, Rashi is sensitive to the fact that the question on him is disjointed from the Rav Yehuda original statement. In other words, it's disconnected. And this you can see in Rashi, Dibur Maskel, my ear yabonim. Rashi says, L'Rav Yehuda porach. Rashi has to focus the question that the Gemara asks on whom it is being asked, because it's not so clear when you simply read the Gemara. It's kind of like far away. It's four lines removed from what the question is being asked on. We accomplish this in Gemara markings by use of the phenomenal marking, the brackets. So let's do this. We read Rav Yehuda and said that ksharim of the Mishnah are kishurei pua, which is something medicinal. The Gemara asks, after the brackets, my irya bonim, why would the Mishnah even mention boys? Bonim are young boys. What's the connection between young boys and this medicinal element? Afilu bonos nami, even girls could have been featured. Likewise, ma'iria ketanim, afilu gedolim nami. The Mishnah speaks about bonim. Bonim are bonim ketanim. They're kids, they're children. Well, if it's something medicinal, even adults would benefit from that. Ela ma'i ksharim. So, rather, what is ksharim? Ki ho diomar ovin bar huno omar rav chamo bar gulya. Ksharim is to be understood as Ovin teaches, and it is the following: Ben Shieshlo Gaguin Aloviv, a little boy, as opposed to a little girl, a little boy that is very fond of his father and is missing his father. And that means that when his father goes away, it takes an emotional toll on this little boy. What can one do to minimize the emotional strain? Notel Ritsua, Minal Shilyamin, my assumption here is the father would take a strap or a shoelace from his right shoe, for kosher loy b'smoylo, and tie it. Here you see the word kosher associated with kshorim. He would tie it to the little boy's left arm, and that would have the effect of reducing the emotional strain or stress on the boy in the absence of his father. Omer of Nachum bar Yitzchok, the simonech tefillin. In order to remember what to do, just remember tefillin. What do we gain by that? Tefillin are bound to a person's left arm, so that the tying is done on to his left side. The chilufos sakanto, if one reverses things, in other words, he were to take the shoelace from the left shoe and put it on the little boy's right arm, sakanto. Sakanto, Rashi explains, that will inflame the emotion, the little boy's emotional state, to cause him to long for his father in an extreme fashion. You'll notice, of course, some markings that we haven't explained yet. Let's get right to that. The double underline that you can see, obviously if you scan the page, it's self-explanatory. These are Maimros of Oven Bar Huna, Omar of Chama Bar Guria. There are a number of Maimros of his. There is another marking that we saw, and that was a bow tie shape. And we've indicated on the side of the Gemara Simun this marking, Lekasher Ho'inyonim HaMesumonim VeHemshech HaGemara. We're going to want to connect the term Gaguin with the term later that you see in the Botai Lipufa Yanuka for the purposes of a discussion later in the Gemara. We did skip a few lines, and let's get back to that now in the brackets. Omar Abaye, Omro Li Aim. Aim literally is one's mother, but it's explained elsewhere that Abaye, actually his mother died when he was being born in childbirth, and he was raised by a foster mother, and that woman is referred to as Aim. There are many places in Shas where Abaye makes reference to things that she taught. Apparently a woman of great wisdom, and in our sugya, in our Gemara, we're going to see numerous citations, and that's what the diamond shape will be highlighting. And under our Mivneh heading, we've indicated the aim is Eitzos Shabai Mevi Bishmo Shel Aim. All kinds of pieces of advice and recipes that she shares with us. We say recipes meaning instructions of a medicinal nature. So Abaye says that his aim told him, Tloso Mukmi Chamisha Masu Shiva Afil Kshofim Mali. This is a reference to these to the knots that we mentioned, these medicinal knots. The Kishure Pua. Pua, when we mentioned earlier, was a type of plant, and it's knotted in some fabric and suspended around one's neck. So the aim says that three Ksharim mukmi, they prevent or they stop the illness of whatever they are suffering from progressing. Chamisha masu, five of these ksharim will heal, and shiva, seven afilu l'kshofimali, seven kishurei pua will be so effective as to even ward off black magic. Omar Rav Acha bar Yaakov Hu, and now Rav Acha qualifies the effectiveness. When are these ksharim effective? He says, and there's a number of points of qualification. He says, V'hu delo chozi le shimsha v'siara, provided that the person doesn't see the shimsha is the sun, nor sees the moon. He have to be indoors. V'lo chozi mitra, and he also doesn't see the rain. V'lo shmiele kol barzola, and he doesn't hear any metallic sounds. V'kol tarnagolta, and he doesn't hear chickens. V'kol nigri, nor does he hear the sound of steps being taken. in order for the person to benefit from these ksharim, according to Rav Acha, he'd have to be a rather insulated individual. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Nofal Puta Babira. Rashi says, Nofal Puta Babira, Nofal Refuas HaPua, the whatever benefit this Pua thing would afford, has fallen Babor into the pit. You're not going to find anyone that is so insulated, so careful from all of the things that Rav Acha said one would have to guard himself from in order to benefit from the Kishurei Pua. As we saw before, we'll just read the Gemara again quickly. We learned this section already. Ma'ir Yabonim, if it's talking about something that is for refuah purposes, if that's how you are explaining Shorim of the Mishnah, then why does the Mishnah feature Bonim, Afilu Bonos Nami, even girls, Ma'ir Iktanim, Afilu Dolim Nami? Why speak about children when it would have an application to adults as well? Elo, Ma'ir Shorim, what then really is Shorim? Ki Hod Yamar Ovin Baruhunam Rav Chambar Gumio, Ben Sheishlo Gaguin Al Oviv, a little boy who has was longing for his father. And Rashi points out that this whole emotional attachment is something unique or specific to little boys as opposed to little girls. That's why the Mishnah mentions Bonim. So it's a little boy that has has longing for his father. In order to reduce the stress, we said, Noitel Ritzu Minol Shel Yimin V'Kosher Loi B'Smoilo. Omar Rav Nach Bar Yitzhak V'Simonech Tfilin. The Chilufa Satanta. Omar Ovin Bar Huna, Omar Rav Chamo Bar Guria. Schufe Koso Atiburi B'Shabbat Shapir Domi. Schufi is to invert. Here we're talking about a cup that is filled with warmth. It was a heated up cup, so that the interior of the cup has a fair amount of heat in it. One could take this cup and invert it and put it on one's belly. Tiburi literally is on one's navel. And you can do this on Shabbos. And this has there's a healthful benefit in this cupping procedure. Rashi says for someone that has a type of stomach ailment, Chosh B'meyov, he says, this heated cup will draw on his innards, reestablish a good inner situation for him. So that procedure is mutter to do on Shabbos. The Omar Ovin Bar Huna Omar of Chama Bar Guya mutter losuch shemen umelach b'Shabbos. One can smear oil and salt on the palms of his hands and feet. Now, you might be wondering of what benefit is this. So the Gemara goes on. Ki ha de Rav Huna mibei Rav. Like the story that involved Rav Huna coming back from his Rebbe, from the yeshiva of Rav. V'Rav mibei Rav Chia. Rav Chia mibei Rebbe. Ki havu mivsimi, when they were intoxicated. And Rashi points out that it was apparently common for students to be entertained by their teachers, and in the course of their visitations, intoxicating wine was served, and the students became intoxicated. They became, Rashi says, shikorim. So, what would one do in order to reduce the intoxication level after having drunk the wine? Maisi mashcha u'milcha, they brought mashcha's oil, milcha, salt, v'shaifi l'hu l'gavaisa d'yodayu v'gavaisa d'karayu, and they would smear it into their palms of their hands, the literally inside of their hands and the bottoms of their feet, the amri, and they did this in order to reduce the effects of the wine, and they would proclaim, or they would say the following incantation, ki hechi d'tzil ha mishcha. Just like this oil becomes clear, apparently the oil being rubbed into the body, Rashi says, mechom habosar, from the body heat, the oil would become clearer. So just like the oil is becoming clear, litzil chamrei de planya bar planisa. So too the wine should become clear, meaning I should be gain sobriety. Ploni Pamplisa means so-and-so, the son of so-and-so mother. In other words, he would say his name and his mother's name. V'iloi, if he doesn't have that, he doesn't have the oil and salt, there is another procedure. Maisi Shia Didona. Shia Didona, Rashi explains, is the clay seal on a barrel. It's Magufa Sechovis, Rashi says. So he would bring the seal of a barrel, Dona is a barrel, Vishori Le Bimaya, and he would soak it in water. This is a clay seal that he would soak in water. V'omar, and then proclaim, Ki Hechi Delitzil Hai Shia, just like this seal is becoming clear by it sitting in the water. Litzel Chamrei de Planisa bar Planisa. So to the I should become clear headed from the wine, and again he states his name. The Omar Ovin bar Huna Omar Rav Chama bar Gurya Muter Lechanek b'Shabbes. Literally, if I translate this literally, it will sound funny, but it's a procedure. Literally, it is mutter to strangle on Shabbos. However, Rashi explains that it's referring to a person that has some kind of sound. The procedure described in Rashi is something that maybe a chiropractor would be able to explain with greater accuracy, but there's some type of vertebrae that became a bit dislocated, and it's causing him some difficulties. So this procedure called Lechanek will adjust that problem. Continuing in the Gemara, the Omar Ovin Barhuna Omar of Chama Barguya, Lepufe Yanuka Bishabata Shapir Domi. Lepufe Yanuka has to do with swaddling an infant. An infant, when he is born, so some of his limbs can become dislocated because everything is very soft. And this Lepufe involves wrapping the child in cloth and tying it in a relatively tight fashion to reestablish realign his limbs. That's Lepufe Yanuka. You'll notice that we now have another bracketed section, and our bracket note says that Sogram Elu Einam Loshem Dilug. This is not for the purpose of skipping, and it's contrary to what the brackets did above. Here we're not going to skip, but it's levodeid keta shoisek b'shemos. It's rather to isolate a section of Gemara that deals with names and shitos. That will become clear as we go through the Gemara. So we will continue, and then you can just glance ahead. After the brackets, we were going to go back to different comments Abaye makes in the name of his aim. So, and at this point in the Gemara, we might as well note also that we will be using the bow tie markings that we said we would come to. Rav Popa Masni Bonim. Rav Popa teaches Bonim is in the plural, a reference to two halachas, namely Geaguin. Over there we saw Ben Sheishlo Geaguin Alaviv. That's one Ben. And Lepufe Yanuka also has to do with a halacha regarding a child. That's to do with swaddling the infant. So Rav Popa, we will see very shortly, he says that both of these halachas, and it's the way it's presented in our Gemara text as well, both halachas are taught by Ovin Bar Huna. So Rav Papa is familiar to us because that's the way we learned the Gemara. Rav Zvid Masni Ben. Rav Zvid, on the other hand, says only one halacha is taught by Ovin, namely the above the first bow tie, the case of the Geaguin, that was taught by Ovin. However, the case of Lepufe Yanuka, or that procedure, was not taught by Ovin, but rather it was taught by Rabba Bar Bar Chanan. The Gemara will explain this. So that is Rav Zvid Masni Ben. And now the Gemara elaborates. Rav Papa Masni Bonim. The word bonim is in the plural. V'travayu masni lehu ba'ovin bar huna. And both bonim related halachas, the case of the child longing for his father and the case of the infant needing to be swaddled, are both taught in the name of ovin bar huna. Rav Zvid masni ben, as follows. Ben is in the singular. Komaisa masni ba'ovin barhuna. The first halacha, the first botai, the case of the agaguin, that he learns in the name of ovin barhuna, like we had. The high, however, this one, the second one, the second botai, the lapufe case, masni lo berabo bar barchana. He has it taught by Rabba. The Amar Rabba Barachana, Lepufi Yanuka Bishabato, Shapir Domi, the swaddling of the infant on Shabbos is okay, it's acceptable. There's no Shabbos violation in doing that. We continue. Omar Abaye, Omrali Aim, Kol Minyoni, all. Now, the word Minyoni literally has to do with a numbers of things. But it's a term that refers to incantations. The Rashi explains why the word minyoni appears in the context of incantations is because incantations are often said in multiple numbers. In other words, you say something 3 times or 5 times or 21 times, things like that. So the word minyoni is a reference to incantations. So Abaye's aim says that when one says an incantation, you are supposed to use b'shmo de'imo. You're supposed to mention your mother's name. And we saw an example above with the attempt to become sober. They said, let planio bar planiso, so and so, the son of his mother. So that using one's mother's name is what one must do when citing an incantation. V'chol katri b'smola, all procedures that require tying, one will tie onto the left side. And that too we saw above with the child with the giaguin on his father. It's a longing for his father. V'omar Abaye, omra li aim, kol Minyone de Mifrishi, Kida Mifrishi, all incantations that have a specified number of times to say it, so then follow the instructions and do it according to the number that is specified along with that particular incantation. Udalo Mifrishi, however, if there is an incantation that one is to recite but the number isn't stated, so then Arboin Vechadzimi, then you are to repeat it 41 times. Tona Rabbonan. We have a discussion now concerning what's called an Evan Tekuma. Shortly we'll see an Evan Tekuma has to do with a device, or it's a stone that a woman who is involved with childbearing will wear to prevent miscarriage. Tana Rabbanan, Yoitzin be'Evin Tekuma b'Shabbos. A woman is allowed to wear this type of stone on Shabbos. We're talking here about a woman who's pregnant, and she'll wear it to prevent a miscarriage. Mishum Rabbi Meir Omru, Af b'Mishkal Evin Tekuma. The Evin Tekuma apparently was some type of known kind of stone, or a stone with some type of known weight. Rabbi Meir says even something that has the same weight as the Evan Tekuma can be worn by the pregnant woman. The Rabbeinu Hananel says at the bottom, where we have a little star in the Rabbeinu Hananel text, you can see there at the bottom in the wide lines, he says, Evan Tekuma, Pirush, Omrim kiyesh evan yidua. They say that there's a known stone, kishit fluya al isha ahara, that when it's suspended around a pregnant woman, eino mapelis, she won't miscarry. Vegam hamishkal shekeneged oisu evan moelis. And likewise, something that has the same weight of that stone is effective. Umutir lotzeis bohen b'shabbos. So that's what Rabbi Meir is adding. Even the that which has the weight of the evan tekuma will be effective. Velo shepila, and not only for a woman that already experienced a miscarriage that she really has to worry, helo shemotapio, but even a woman who is worried that she might come to miscarry. Velo sheibra, and we're not talking specifically about a woman who knows she is pregnant. Helo shemotis aber vetapio, we're talking even about a woman that might be pregnant or might become pregnant and is worried that she might have a miscarriage. So that the this Tanaic source is going very far in its leniency regarding the Evan Tekuma. Omar Rav Yemar Bar Shalmi O Mishmei Abaye Vahu De Ichvin VeIskel. When we speak about the Mishkal Evan Tekuma, it must be an item that is naturally the same weight of the as the Evan Tekuma, and not an item that you had to cut away or pasted on to it in order to have the same weight, but rather naturally the same weight or automatically the same weight. Boy Abaye Mishkal De Mishkal Mai. What about something that has the same weight as that other thing? And it seems to me that when we speak about the Mishkal that we mentioned, not just seems to me, but Rashi also, I didn't emphasize this before, but it's something that was used, it was actually weighed on a, let's say, a balance scale. On the one side, the Evan Tekuma, on the other side was this article that it was actually weighed with an Evan Tekuma. The question here is, what about something that was weighed together with that item that had been weighed with the Evan Tekuma? That's a, we'll call it like a second generation weight. What is the din? Is that also considered would have the same din as the Evan Tekuma? To this the Mor says teku. The remains unresolved. The Omar Abaye, Omro Li Aim. And before we go further, we have a new marking, the diamond with the colored in tip. And on the side of Agra, under the Mivneh, we've indicated these are Shemos Machalois Vekadome. We'll be highlighting using this marking, and it will continue down, quite a few of them will appear down, Samach Zayin Omer Aleph, references to different ailments and other things that need or necessitate a person gaining assistance. You know, so that we're leaving open a realm beyond that of actual ailments, but other problems, we'll say. So we've highlighted each new problem as it comes along with this marking. So for the balance of this Omid, we will be dealing with this thing called the Ishta Bas Yoima. Ishta Bas Yoima, for our Gemara markings purposes, as we've said in the past, with many, many of these things, the actual translation is not going to be of central significance, because many of these procedures we aren't going to follow anyway. Rishonim have already commented that matters of refuas that you find in the Gemara were good for the time of the Gemara, but nowadays, and this I'm saying, even Rishonim say, if Rishonim didn't say it, we'd have no right to say these things. But the medical procedures found in the Gemara, we have really lost the tradition on what many of the things are, and one should not follow them. That being said, we have this ailment called Ishta Bas Yoima. It's a Bas Yoima, it's a one-day, Rashi says Bas Yoima, She'achsosoi b'chol yom. It takes hold of him, he suffers from it every day. Ishta might have a reference to something that's Eish, that's fire-related, or possibly feverishness. we have a little note on the side that, and we are going to use a numbering system for this. We're going to number three different types of ishta situations. So for the ishta bas yoma, lishkol zuza chirisa, once you get a zuza is a coin, it's a freshly minted coin, the lazel le malchisa, and he should go to a place where salt is produced. You'll have at the side of oceans areas where salt is produced. The liskol miskele milcha, and he should take a measure of salt. He should take a measure of salt. The litzire and tie it bechalola debate sabor in the collar underneath his throat benira barka, and tie it using a this nira barka is a type of hair thread made of hair. The ilo, and you'll notice that we have triangles, as these triangles signify refuos chilufios. They are different, they're alternatives. In each case, it's if you don't have the previous ingredients, so then this is what you could do. So the ilo, if you don't have that, then leisav aproshes drachim, then the sufferer should sit at a crossroads. The chichazi shumshamno gamlo, the dori midi, when he sees a shumshamno is an ant, gamlo, a large ant, that is dori midi, that dori means carrying, midi, something. Lishkele, he should take the ant, the lishte, and place it, the gufsa de nechosha. Gufsa is a tube made of copper. Nechosha is copper. The listame, and seal it, the avra, with lead. The lichtami, and seal it, the shisen gushpanki, with 60 seals. The liv rizule, and then shake it, shake the tube. The lidre, and carry it. The lema le, and say the following. Teunucha, a lie, say to the ant, your burden, whatever the ant is carrying. The ants, you've seen them carrying little splinters or twigs in their proboscis. So your burden is on me. Utunoi, my sickness, my burden, my sickness, alecha, on you. Amalei Rav Acha bre de Rav Huna le Rav Ashi. Rav Acha says, he questions this statement. He questions this incantation, if you will. He says, "Vidilma inish ashkhe v'ifsik bay." Maybe someone else previously found this ant and placed his illness on this ant. So if you say to the ant, "I want your burden," you're in effect inviting trouble because you're accepting the illness of the other guy on you. Elo lema le. Rather, this is what you should say to the ant: "Teunoi uteunach alech." My burden, namely my sickness, and whatever you're carrying, whatever you have on you, the ant, so that you're not absorbing anything from the ant. The ilo, and if you don't have that, then lishko kuzo chadita, then take a new small a clay vessel, the lezel nara, and go to a river, the lemo le, and you say to the river, nara nara. River, O river, oisfun kuza de maya, l'urcha de iklali, loan to me a cup of water for the trip that has chanced upon me, that I have to go on. The lahadashev zialresh, and then you will twirl this cup around your head seven times, the ishtain lachore, and then spill it out in back of you, the lemole, and then say, Nara Nara, river O river, Shkol Maya Diavisli, take the water back that you gave me, the Urcha de Iklali, the road that chanced upon me, the Yome Osa Ubi Yome Ozil. It came today and is gone today. Omar Ravuna, continuing at the top of Samach Zayin Omid Aleph, the Ishta Tilsa. Ishta tilsa is the ishta phenomenon, this, whatever it may be, it's, as we said before, maybe it's some type of feverish ailment that comes every 3 days. Lysi shiva silvi mishiva dikli, he should bring seven small branches from seven palm trees. v'shiva tzivi v'shiva kishuri, and seven splinters from seven kishuriyar beams, v'shiva sichi v'shiva kishuri, and seven sichiyar pegs from seven bridges, v'shiva ktimi v'shiva tanuri, and seven ashes from seven ovens, v'shiva afri v'shiva sanri, and seven dirt from seven sanri. Sanri is a, you have to imagine a door that swivels on a door hinge, which is there's a hole into which the hinge fits. And then we're not talking about side hinges, but rather doors that swivel on pins that protrude from the top of the door and the bottom of the door, and they are inserted into holes in the lintel and in the ground. And we're talking here about that socket into which the peg is, the door peg is, or the door hinge is fastened, so you scrape out from there the dirt. That's the mishiva sanri. And furthermore, vishiva kufri, mishiva arbi. Kufri is pitch that's is used for lining boats. From seven arbi, or from seven boats, vishiva buni kamuni. That's seven buni, or is a handful, a fistful of kamuni. Kamuni is kamon, a type of spice. V'shiva bini, bini are hairs, seven hairs, mi dikna de kalba sava, from the chin or the beard of an old dog. The litzairinu b'chalola de beit savra b'nira barka, and litzairinu, and tie them together in the, in one's collar, we saw before, in under one's neck, using this thread or made of hair. That's the nira barka. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.